Okay. Okay, if you want a Bible, raise your hand. Kevin will get a Bible for you. We are going to read a... Is it a full chapter? We're going to read plenty. So if you want to read with us, you can use your phone or you can turn to get a Bible and turn to it. The place we're going to turn is Romans chapter 14. There's the comment. There's the comment. I thought we were in the book of Matthew. I did not misspeak. We are in Romans 14. We are not in the book of Matthew yet. We may get to the book of Matthew depending on how fast we go. I would like to get to the book of Matthew, but we shall see. While you turn there, I will pray. Well, Heavenly Father, you have drawn a circle around these people. Lord, you have drawn a circle and said there's a community. There's a church. There are verses that we should obey with one another because you've asked us to. And Lord, would you teach us how to be that community? Community of Jesus ones, I thank you for the fellowship we just had around your word. Lord, you grant us fellowship around your word now. Would you grant us fellowship with you in your word? And Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your teaching. We ask for that you would, God, move us along together. Lord, we are together enough that Paul would write a letter to a church, to a community, to a group of people trying to follow you. And so here we are. And we ask that you would lead us on. Lead us along to follow you together. And we put that request before you, and we praise you and thank you for the chance to be together and say words, sing words like worthy and majesty and unfailing love. We thank you. We thank you for who we pray to and who we are before you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We are a non-denominational church. And that can mean a lot of things to different people. One of the things it means to us is we do not take a communicated stand on a number of doctrinal issues because we aren't denominational. But because of that, we, maybe even more than a different kind of church, we need to understand how to interact with people who believe different things than we do. So we are about to walk into Matthew 24 in a reading of Matthew. Now, here's my assumption. There are different opinions on what Matthew 24 means. And because of that, we're going to have conversations with each other. I think it means this, and I think it means that, and what do you think this means? And I want to remind us of some things so that we can walk into Matthew 24 together and have it be as productive and uniting as it could be. So I want to go over some principles in Romans 14. So I'm going to read Romans 14, and I want to read it under the context of we're about to read Matthew 24 together as a church. Okay? So There'll be a number of principles we went over here. The last time we went over principles like this, it was early COVID. The last time we read Romans 14 together as a church. So I thought that was interesting. There was some context there. I'm sure some of you remember. Okay. Verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to honor it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Okay. This chapter is really surprising to me, and I want to go over it briefly. So we have a context. So eating meat in this culture that Paul's writing to seems to be a thing. It seems to be a problem, and it could be a problem in a number of ways. People could, Jewish Christians, could be believing that they need to follow the dietary laws of the Old Testament, and that they are in a community, a mixed community, because they're in Rome, where some people are secular and they're eating meat. And so then the Jews, some are eating meat, some are not eating meat. Well, how do we interact in that environment? There also seems to be an issue here of meat in the marketplace, and much of it is sacrificed to idols before as sacrifice to idols, and so then you get the meat out of it, and then you sell the meat in the marketplace. Well, if I'm a Christian and it's been sacrificed to an idol, it's been sacrificed to demons, then why would I eat it if I am to honor the Lord alone? And so there's people that are thinking that way. So we have some context that meat, eating meat is this difficult thing. And Paul tells us in this passage what is true. And what is true is you can eat meat. There's Christian freedom. There's Christian freedom from the law. Idols don't mean anything. You can eat meat. You're free to do it. And he calls the person who won't eat meat weak. We know where Paul stands. So, here I am. I believe in the gospel. I believe in Christian freedom. And I meet my friend here, Troy. And Troy, he believes you shouldn't eat meat if it's sacrificed to an idol. And so clearly, since I know what's true, and I've been discipled by Paul, and I'm convinced of this, I should tell Troy, you have freedom. This is the gospel. This is Jesus Christ. This is why he died, for the freedom that he gave you to be. And so come with me, Troy, and I will show you. Let's eat meat together. That's what I do when I know it's true. I teach it. I call other people into it. And Paul says, don't do it. And I say, but it's truth. It agrees with you, Paul. And Paul agrees with me that it's truth. He says the guy's weak. But he says, if Troy eats meat and his conscience isn't completely clear about it, it's sin for him. If I convince him to go do sin, I'm sinning. And that's surprising to me. I love truth. In this crazy world that believes all these crazy things, oh, truth. Yes. Amen. And what's great about truth is you say, here's the truth. Now everybody needs to get in line with the truth. Here's the truth. You're going to get on the train, you get it off the train. But here's the truth. And Paul here does not present this like that. Now, let's briefly talk about context. We are not talking here about the essentials of the Christian faith. It seems like the label here to put on this is disputable matters. There are things in the Christian life that people have disagreements on. And can just be Christians and still have disagreements on. And so we're in this context. Now, let's look at this first paragraph. Once you read the first four verses, we'll read it together. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Okay. What would passing judgment look like in this context? So it says, don't pass judgment. What if the person were to be passing judgment, what would he be doing that would be sinful? What do you think? Yeah. Okay. Saying you're sinning. Okay, that's good. I like that. Yeah, telling someone not to associate because they believe this or believe that, or doing this or that. Good. Kevin. Yeah. Does everybody hear that? Your faith is weak and you need to get over it and grow up. Yeah, we speak the words to people like that. It's good. Gossip? Yeah. Yeah, do you know what that person eats? He's one of them. Stereotyping? Good, good. It's a good word for it. I'm glad I'm not like them. I love it. What would despising mean? Okay, disgracing another. Good. I like that. Well said. Yeah. I think the maybe as I kind of summed up some of that, I thought through it as like a look down on, a think less of. I think it would be really easy. If I feel free to eat meat and the gospel is giving me freedom, that I go, oh, you guys are just hopeless legalists over there. What, do you just want to live under those laws? And that those that are really trying to like honor the Lord and not eat meat and to make these sacrifices, and you look over there and be like, compromisers. You guys just want the easy life. And there's a looking down on that would be really easy to do. See, we have a culture that very quickly moves from you disagree with me to you are evil. Our flesh does that. We're not too far from the culture. Our flesh does that. And it goes very quickly. We see it happen, and it can happen in our own hearts. So let's put some examples on this. Some of you in this church are political. You believe that the best good you can do with your Christian life, especially in election season, is to work for laws to be changed, for righteous people to be in government, and that you believe you are bringing a lot of good into the world because of your work in the political realm. And your Christian values, your Christian life outflows into politics. Some of you, your Christian life outflows into service or evangelism or discipleship within our church. And there's different ways that your Christian life outflows. And there are some of you in this church that believe a Christian life should not outflow into politics. Like a Christian shouldn't eat meat sacrificed to idols. There's a, you should not do this, but they are. Now, why shouldn't we judge each other in our minds? According to the passage, just right in Romans, why shouldn't we judge each other in our minds? Troy. Because God accepts him? Yeah, what's another way? What's something else is in the passage too. It's good. We're all God's servants. That's in there, yeah? God wants harmony, that's true. Right? Because we don't live for ourselves, that's a good one too. These are all awesome answers. Yeah, Ben, that's the one I was looking for. That's not our place because I'm not their master. God's their master. God's their master. It's not my place. God becomes the master. God's going to do the judging. So can I make the judgment here on earth when I'm not the maker, not the author of the faith, not the person that's going to judge him at the end? Well, no, that's not my place. That's why we don't judge each other in the things that are disputable. The fact that all of us are judged should humble us. And I love that last verse in the first paragraph. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. So what's he saying? He will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And so that comes down to the first thing somebody said. Hey, he will be accepted. The Lord accepts him. Oh, the Lord will make him stand. Okay, let's read 13 through 19. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Okay, let's just say in our church, there were strong opinions about Matthew 24. Not saying there are, but let's say there are. Or what if there's strong opinions about whether Israel today is doing right in Gaza? Or maybe even more theological, maybe there's differing opinions about who actually is Israel. Who is biblical Israel? Well, that may not be clear either. And let us say that those who believed their thoughts about those issues and about the end times believed it mattered. Like, well, what we believe about the end times matters because it's the outflow of our Christian life. If in our life right now, depending on what we believe about the end times, our life will skew this way or our life will skew that way. We'll make different decisions. And so the truth about the end times matters for our Christian life today. So this is a topic that matters. Now, if we were going to have discussions with each other on these topics, is there anything in this passage that we just read, or this paragraph, that would help us have those conversations? Any principles we would draw out, directions that we could get from the Word? Okay, and where do you pick that up? Okay, yep, don't pass judgment on one another. Okay, so the principle being we should walk in love in these conversations, and part of that is being considerate. Okay, good. Ooh, do not tear down the work of God. What do you think that means, the work of God, Sue? Yeah. I think he's saying that these people in eating meat or not eating meat and talking about whether they're going to eat meat or not eating meat, that people's faith was being injured. That people were being injured. People were being torn down. And that grieved Paul. Yeah, others. Yeah, Karen's talking about how conversation should be like peaceful. Peaceful and a mutual understanding happening between peaceful. Between people, yep. Good. Yeah, Troy. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's an in the spirit versus in the flesh that bears monitoring in these conversations. So let me ask you this question. Should I share so strongly that I believe nobody else can have a good or right answer? No. I shouldn't. Should I mock or make fun of the other perspective? Now, you say this, Brandon, this is so silly. This is so stupid. Of course, we're not going to mock or make fun. Christians don't do that. What? Have you ever heard a Christian mock or make fun of a young earth perspective? Well, yeah. Have you ever heard a young earth guy make fun or mock an old earth guy? Yeah. When you become a Christian, your flesh doesn't go away. Just because I know the right thing to do doesn't mean I do it. But you have the power to do it. You have the power to do it. Should I mock or make fun of the other perspective? No. And we'd be honest, we're more prone to this than we want to admit or see in our blindness. If someone shares an opinion that is really strong, what should I do? You know what the first answer is? Allow him to have the opinion. The reason is because we're supposed to be fully convinced in our own mind. And you should, in my own soul, you should commend him for being convinced in his own mind, for having studied enough that he knows what he believes and why he believes it. And you are fully convinced in your own mind. Good job. Now, the first paragraph of this passage says, hey, let's not quarrel about it. We can't quarrel. But you can be fully convinced, and I can give you permission to be fully convinced. I'm not saying that we should walk around and be like, well, I don't know what I believe about anything. You can have opinions. You can have strong opinions. I'm not trying to erase those. Okay, but let's ask this question. What if you are hurt by someone in a conversation? What should you do if you're hurt by someone in a conversation? What's the immediate Christian answer? Forgive them. That is the answer. Forgive them. Here's the second answer. If you've forgiven them and you still remember it a number of days later, forgiving them is not the only answer. Talking to them is the answer. Forgive them. If I can't forget about it, if I remember it when I see him, if it's a week later and I'm like, I'm in my soul, I'm still like, grrr. Your brain's still thinking about it. You wake up and you're thinking about the nerve of that guy. You need to have a conversation. Listen, I have been upset about the silliest things. Sometimes it's big and awful, and I know I just really need to do this and really good, and sometimes it's the silliest thing, and it's the silliest ones that I don't want to do. I'm like, do I really going to say to this guy that I was offended by this? But I can't get it out of my head. I have to go. You have to go. Sometimes you need them to look you in the face and say, I care for you. I didn't mean to. Here's what I really think. Will you forgive me? Relationship restored. And we need to be a community where relationships get restored. One, if you can forgive them, just forgive them. If you remember it, let's have a community that can come together and have those conversations. And I believe I believe we do. In this paragraph, in this passage, you know what really strikes me? Truth is not the highest value. If you put the value list of this passage, truth is not at the top. Love is. If your brother is grieved, you are no longer walking in love. Wow. And you know what? There's something inside me that goes, Paul, what? This is the gospel. This is Christian freedom. This is important truth. These guys need to get this. This is important. And Paul is standing there and goes, love is a higher value. That's what he's saying. We need to allow each other space to stand and fall to their God. Is it right to wear a mask during COVID or not to wear a mask? Some of you had very strong opinions on this. Do you remember? And what was the call then? You have to allow somebody else to have a different thought. We have to allow them to the space to have a different thought. Now, let's insert Christian issues, Christian theologies, things we disagree about. Should I push some buttons? Should we talk about, anybody want to talk about Reformed theology? Or what about Calvinism? What about, no, I'm not going to do this to all of you. But in our soul, we allow somebody else to have a different thought. Okay, the last, look, the time is up. Okay. The last paragraph, the thought I like in there the most. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet. That's in that last paragraph. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet. Here's the call. Here's the call to you. What is Christian unity? Is it that we all believe the same thing? It can't be. If that's Christian unity, we are really in trouble. Romans 14 is a call to rise above our Christian differences. Not to change them, to rise above them. To love each other, even in our disagreements. And that's what it means to give up our lives for one another. It's what it means, part of what it means to love people. So what I want to do is I want to jump into Matthew 24 and talk about every issue. To talk about every theology, to talk about everything. And to be a church, we'll talk about anything. There's nothing that's too divisive to bring up. But in that process and in those conversations, because we're not afraid of the conversations, we can give up our lives for each other and love each other and put love as a value higher than truth in how we interact with each other. And that it can bring a lot of fruit and be a lot of fun to have those conversations. And so I just want to call us higher to what Christian unity is. Because I believe it is loving each other in spite of and in our differences. Because we all do that for Jesus. And Jesus is the highest value. Love is the highest value. Man, we can be united. We can do this. And that's just on my heart. I want us to hold strong convictions. I want you to. I want you to hold strong convictions that also allow somebody else to have a different one. So let's pray. Well, Father Jesus, I just thank you for your communication. Lord, you told us, Lord, the disciples just asked, hey, when are you going to destroy the temple? And when are you coming back again? And Lord, you took those two things and you spoke on them both. And I don't know where one stops and another begins, and nobody else does either. But Lord, whether it's this area or other areas, Lord, we just want to be a community under you. Lord, we want to be people that love. If we can't love, that comes from our faith. Lord, God, it's nothing. Lord, we're nothing. Lord, so we paint the goal, we paint the bullseye. And Father, would you in your grace and our and power help us hit that bullseye of love and unity while seeking you and seeking truth and to making our lives come in line with everything you said. Thank you for the chance to be the church and to praise you today. And I thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God.